Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. A congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 222, the stanzas 1, 2, 3, and 5. And now to God, our strength and Savior, render praise and loudly sing, in our Father's God rejoicing, all your noblest music bring, and what follows, 222, 1, 2, 3, and 5. the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in 2 Corinthians 11. And afterwards from the canons of Dort, the third and fourth heads of doctrine, Article 2 and 3 on page 106. 2 Corinthians 11. Would to God ye could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me, for I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that he may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. For I suppose I was not a whit behind the very chiefest apostles. But though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge, but we have been thoroughly made manifest among you in all things. Have I committed an offense in abasing myself that ye might be exalted, because I have preached to you the gospel of God freely? I robbed other churches, taken wages of them to do you service. And when I was present with you and wanted, I was chargeable to no man. For that which was lacking to me, the brethren which came from Macedonia supplied, and in all things I have kept myself from being burdensome unto you, and so will I keep myself. As the truth of Christ is in me, and no man shall stop me of this boasting in the regions of Achaia. Wherefore, because I love you not, God knoweth. But what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that were in thy glory, they may be found even as we. But such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. And I say again, let no man think me a fool. If otherwise, yet as a fool receive me, that I may boast myself a little. That which I speak it not after the Lord, but as it were foolishly, in this confidence of boasting. Seeing that many glory after the flesh, I will glory also. For ye suffer fools gladly, seeing ye yourselves are wise. For ye suffer if a man bring you into bondage, if a man devour you, if a man take of you, if a man exalt himself, if a man smite you on the face. I speak as concerning reproach, as though we had been weak. Howbeit, whereinsoever any is bold, I speak foolishly, I am bold also. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool, I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, and thus oft. Of the Jews 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Who is weak, and I am not weak? Who is offended, and I bear not? If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern mine infirmities. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed for evermore, knoweth that I lie not. In Damascus, the governor under Aretas, the king kept the city of the Damascenes with a garrison, desirous to apprehend me. And through a window in a basket was I let down by the wall and escaped his hands. From the canons of Dort, the 3rd and 4th heads of doctrine of the corruption of man, his conversion to God, and the manner thereof. Article number 2. A man after the fall begat children in his own likeness. A corrupt stock produced a corrupt offspring. Hence all the posterity of Adam, Christ only excepted, have derived corruption from their original parent, and not by imitation, as the Pelagians of old asserted, but by the propagation of a vicious nature. Article 3. Therefore all men are conceived in sin, and by nature children of wrath, incapable of saving good, prone to evil, dead in sin, and in bondage thereto, and without the regenerating grace of the Holy Spirit, they are neither able nor willing to return God, to reform the depravity of their nature, or to dispose themselves to reformation. We hope to remember in prayer Sean Neils, who this past Monday evening on his way home in the dark accidentally hit a pedestrian, taking a wife and mother of 36 years old out of this life. Let us try to ask the Lord for his blessing. Lord of the heavens and of the earth, it has pleased thee in thy mercy, in thy goodness, and in thy long suffering, that in this evening hour the doors of thy house have been opened, and thou hast granted the opportunity unto us and our children to enter those doors. May we be humbled under all thy goodness, wherein this week and in this day we have been the recipients of so many blessings from above, and that for a sinful people, for a depraved people, a people that have sinned in their covenant head Adam, and we have heard it out of the writings of our forefathers, based upon thy holy word, that we are not able nor willing for a reformation. And to that end, may our eyes be upon thee. Ah, may we be given to mightily cry unto the God of heaven, that he would rend the heavens, that he would come down in this evening hour and work those loving and powerful works of free and sovereign grace. Lord, then there is one amongst us, a son, a young man, who has been brought very low, and may it be granted, oh, with the psalmist, where the psalmist was given to declare, when my soul is overwhelmed, then thou knewest my path. Oh, Lord, may it please thee to remember and to uphold them in these deep and in these unfathomable ways. We cannot understand thy ways. Ah, grant them a place at thy footstool, where he may pour out thy heart, and where he may tell thee all, and that this solemn calling, that it may be sanctified, that it may be used in his young life. Lord, wilt thou remember his parents, remember the family circle where one suffers, and then we all suffer. And then we commend unto thee that family, oh, so suddenly and unexpectedly has been plunged into such deep mourning, where a husband has become a widower, where the children have lost their mother, a parents lost a daughter, and where there is such a large empty place in the midst of that family circle. Oh, Lord, do remember and do uphold them, and may they be given to come with all their sorrow, with all their grief. And may also in that family circle, may this serious calling, may it be sanctified, O Lord, to remember them when they are called upon to bury their beloved one. Wilt thou remember all mourning ones in our midst? Then many wounds, they have been reopened. as so often in the past months and now by renewal. Well, thou remember them all in all, Lord, when in our family circles, when there are no empty places in the immediate family, may there be those times that we may be given to bewonder the goodness and the long-suffering of the Lord, because who maketh us to differ? We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We are lying under the sentence of death, we and our children. And now thou granteth this precious time of grace that we may seek, that we may find thee, that we may receive the pardoning of all of our sins. And then, Lord, then it is all thy work from the beginning to the end. But thou hast also appointed the means, and thou gatherest, thou defendest, thou comforts, thou instructs thy church. By word and by spirit may it please thee to also do it in this evening hour, that sons and daughters may be born in Zion, and that the eyes of thy people may be upon thee, to receive the strengthening of faith, and to expect all things from thee alone. And then in this evening hour we have gathered together to remember and to commemorate the wonders which thou hast done by thy powerful hand, by thy spirit, in the days of old, where there was a time that thy church was so in Egyptian bondage, the darkness was so great, the precious truths of thy word, even thy word, was withheld from the common people. And thou had a remnant that was given to sigh and to groan under those heavy taskmasters of the law, which they could never keep and which they could never satisfy, and still with that burden of sin upon their back. But then thou wast granted that the light may shine in the darkness, and then it is shone in many hearts, that they were given to behold and experience that glorious gospel as it is in Jesus Christ, that he has brought that perfect sacrifice, that he has suffered, and that he has died, and that he has risen again, ascended, and sitteth at the right hand of the Father, and from thence he is caring for his church. Lord, then so many were wrought upon, so many were converted, and then it became evident in the family circles, in the church, then there was a reformation indeed. But, O Lord, how many have given, have sacrificed their lives for the heritage which we and our children may still possess. And may we be given to meditate upon those things, the great persecution that they have suffered. Oh, it was a people in the church that have learned to pray and that have learned to beg, that were willing to sacrifice, and not only much, but even all. And how richly thou wast blessed the labors, O Lord. And may it please thee to do the same in the days in which we live, where it is a very dark, a very solemn, and a very serious time, where the footsteps of King Jesus are heard, and the judgments they are hovering so low over the earth. And then surely then thou wert speaking to the whole world, but thou wert also speaking in such solemn ways, unto us and our dear children, O Lord. And may we not continue in our own way under those solemn speakings, but may we be given to pause and to consider what belongs to our peace, that we need to be born again, we need to be wrought upon, we need to become new creatures, we need to experience the truths which were so richly displayed and proclaimed in the time of the Reformation, O Lord. And may the prayers be multiplied to that end. O, leave us not over to the hardness of the heart. Take that lukewarmness away. Wilt thou fill us with that zeal for thy honor and for the coming of thy kingdom, O Lord. It is not our church, it is not our cause, but it is thy church and thy glory. And to that end may it please thee, that thou may magnify thy great and worthy name in a richer measure amongst us and our children. Oh, be not as a stranger in the land, and one that tarries to come for a night, and as a mighty man that cannot save, but may it please thee to stretch out thy almighty arm, and that thou may save our boys and our girls, and that thou may save our youth, save our middle age, and save our elderly ones. Ah, thou art so just, if thou leavest us lie. But, O Lord, thou hast taught thy church to pray, that thy kingdom may come. And the prophet of old has declared, that thou wilt be inquired of Israel to do it for them. And to that end, O Lord, may it please thee to show mercy unto us and our children. Remember the nations of the earth, then in the United States of America, then in this week elections have been held, and then the ballots are still being counted. Ah, may we be given to ask in wrath. Remember mercy, remember also our poor nation, that sinks further and further under the judgment of the hardening of the heart, and that does not acknowledge that thou art the supreme ruler over the heavens and over the earth. May it please thee to bless the manifold means of grace in the family circles, in the church, and in our Christian school. Remember thy church over the length and the breadth of the earth. Lord, we remember all the elderly ones. Remember all those that are under the physician's care. Ah, thou knowest the fears, thou knowest the cares. Grant a place at thy footstool, and may we be given to bear one another's burdens. And now, Lord, in this evening hour, may it please thee to grant a good hour together. Oh, withhold not thy spirit in speaking and in listening, and may thy word have free course. Take away everything that could be a hindrance. Wilt thou bind the devil? Lord, we have many things to ask. Our sins, they are great and manifold. Pardon them in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Psalter 273, the stanzas 3, 4, 5, and 6. O Lord, regard the prayer of those who love the walls of Zion well, Whose hearts are heavy for her woes, whose sad lament her ruins dwell, and what follows, 273, 3 through 6. In this evening hour, with the help of the Lord, then we wish to ask your attention for our text words, which you can find in 2 Corinthians 11, the verses 28, 29, and 30. Besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Who is weak, and I am not weak? Who is offended, and I burn not? If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern mine infirmities. Our text words speak, beside all these things, the care of the churches, with two thoughts. In the first place, in the life of the Apostle Paul, and in the second place, in the life of John Calvin. Besides all things, the care of the churches, and the life of the Apostle Paul, and then we hope to consider Paul's deep trials, Paul's heavy burden, Paul's weakness, and Paul's glorying, and in the second place, in the life of John Calvin. Beloved congregation, in this evening hour, then we have come together to God's house to remember the wonderful deeds of the Lord, which he has done in the church in the ages past. And then it is very clear that it was not the work of man, but that it was the Lord's outstretched arm, that it was the work of the Holy Spirit, that is wrought upon the children of men on Reformation Day. Then the boys and girls, they can tell me what we especially remember when Martin Luther, when he has nailed his 95 theses on the church door of Wittenberg. But then the Lord has raised many more men up, even in the centuries before. If we think who was many times called the morning star of the Reformation, John Wycliffe, who was also given to translate the scriptures into the English language, and has died in the year 1384. Then we think of John Huss, all those men, they have preached the gospel as it is in Jesus Christ, excluding all the works of men, a free and sovereign grace. Then we also think of Ulrich Zwingli, and boys and girls, I think there are children that can even tell me when he was born, that was a New Year's Day in the year 1484, exactly 7 weeks after Martin Luther was born. And then concerning the Reformation of those two reformers, the one did not follow and build upon the other, it is true, later in Zwingli's life, then the writings of Luther have been read by him, but it was a parallel movement, where the Lord has wrought in both of their hearts. They were given to experience that by the works of the law and no flesh could be justified. And then it was also the time when the scriptures would be translated into the common language of the people, because the Roman Catholic Church, they had the Latin Bible, and that only the very learned could read. And we know that the scriptures were withheld from the people. But then the Lord has also raised up men, with a burden and with a vision, that the scriptures, William Tyndale, when he was in Wales, instructing a few boys from a rich man, and then in that room, then he could look across the valleys, and then he saw the boys walking behind the plow, and then the Lord has given him the vision, that he hoped that there would come a time that a boy of 10 years old behind the plow, and of course girls, that included the girls that helped their mothers in the house, that they would know more of the scriptures than the Pope himself. William Tyndale has declared that he has found by experience that when a people do not have the scriptures in the common language, then it is difficult for the truth to be established in the church. And to that end, William Tyndale, he has sacrificed his life. 1526, the New Testament was printed. He has fled the country of England to never return. But we shall first speak a few words concerning Paul, concerning his trials, concerning his burdens, concerning his weakness, and concerning his glory. And shall it be well for us and our children, then we must become partaker, experience what Paul has experienced. Our text has been taken from the second epistle of Paul to the Corinthians. He has come to that large city, a wicked and an immoral city. There he was given to preach. He has become very discouraged. But then I read in Acts 8, Acts 18, the verses 9 and 10, that the Lord has come over, be not afraid, for they will not put their hands on thee, for I have much people in this city. What a privilege, when there may be a congregation where there are many people among young and old, lying under the seal of election. And to that end, he was given to preach 18 months. On the third missionary journey, he was 3 years in Ephesus, and then the reports have come that it was not going so well in the congregation of Corinth. To that end, he has sent the first letter, and it seemed that reports have come that that letter was not so well received, that they have even questioned his authority. He has sent Titus to Corinth that he may bring word back. And then Paul has traveled northward to Troas, hoping to meet Titus, but he has not returned. Then Paul was so distressed. But then he went further to Macedonia, and there Titus has come with a favorable report. And to that end, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, then Paul has written this letter. And then we read concerning that joy in 2 Corinthians 7 verse 6, that God who comforteth those that are much cast down, that he was comforted with the coming of Titus. And then in this letter, then he is given to express his gratitude and defend against false charges. And now in our text we read, beside those things that are without. And then this epistle is quite a personal letter. And then Paul, in the verses before, you have heard it, boys and girls, you have read along the many difficulties and the many trials that Paul has experienced for the cause of Jesus Christ. Because then we read concerning those trials, oh, the Lord has said to Ananias in Acts 9 verse 6, Acts 9 verse 16, 15 and 16, that he was a chosen vessel and that he would suffer much for the kingdom of God. Oh, Paul was given to inflict much damage upon the kingdom of Satan, and therefore the devil very angry. And now, concerning the manifold labors of Paul, his traveling, his preaching, and then he is given to write some of those difficulties and those persecutions. And then we read in verse 23 that he was more in labors. And then we read of many afflictions. We read that five times he received 40 stripes, saved one. And only one of those instances is recorded in the book of Acts. That is in Acts 16 in the city of Philippi. Three times he was beaten with rods. And then there is, concerning those stripes, there is not one recorded, those 40 stripes, but concerning that beating with rods, that has taken place in Acts 16 in Philippi. Then he was stoned, Lystra recorded in Acts 14, first that people, they want to worship him as gods, and then people have turned them against them. And then Paul was stoned. Three times he suffered shipwreck. At the time of the writing of this epistle, then that shipwreck in Acts 27 on the way to Rome has not taken place yet. A night and day in the deep, perhaps floating on the waves, a journey, and often the difficulties, the tiredness, and peril of waters, robbers, countrymen, heathen, of the city, of wilderness, of the sea, of false brethren. Then we read that the Apostle Paul, that he has suffered many trials for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. But Paul, when it is so difficult, when you have such persecution, the heathens, the Jews, difficult traveling circumstances, robbers on the road, then we would say, I wonder that Paul was still alive. The Lord has watched over his servant Paul. Why do you not give up and find a secluded place? Have a little rest. Surely you deserve a little rest. And to not make it so difficult. Why do you think, boys and girls, that Paul did not give up? Oh, of course, he has received a divine commission from his master. And in 1 Corinthians 9 verse 16, he is written, woe unto me if I preach not the gospel. Oh, Paul, we read thereof
in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 10 and 11, that knowing the tear of the Lord, oh, an impression, soul traveling to a never-ending eternity, and that the people upon this world, that they need to hear that precious tidings of free and sovereign grace, that the Father has given His Son, because outside of that word we read in Romans 10 verse 17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Oh, then He has expressed in verse 14, the love of Christ constraineth me. Paul has experienced the good things of the Lord. Oh, Paul has experienced, oh, undoubtedly, when he was persecuted, when he was lying in the stocks, when he was beaten with stripes, and then he was given to think of Acts 8 and 9, that he was also a persecutor of the church, but the all-sufficient grace of God, that he was stopped, that he was saved. He has called himself the chiefest of sinners. Oh, that was the message that was brought in the time of the Reformation for a time for a people that dwelt in the house of bondage under the taskmasters of the law. Because in the time of the Reformation, the Lord had a remnant in the Roman Catholic Church that was wrought upon by the Spirit. Ah, they did not agree with everything. They could not understand everything. But one thing they have experienced, that they were a sinner, and with all their striving, with all their doing and not doing, they were a sinner still. And therefore, what a precious light has shone in the darkness, Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And to that end, oh, Paul was given to experience what is written of his Master in Psalm 69, verse 9, the zeal of thy house hath eaten me up. Oh, and the joy that Paul has experienced when his labors were blessed, when boys and girls, when they received the new heart, when young people were given to make that good choice, older ones converted and brought to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. What the church in former ages, and also the persecuted church in our day, what they are willing to suffer and to undergo, what they are willing to sacrifice in congregation, what are we now willing to sacrifice for the truth? What are we all willing to give up? It's a good question. On Reformation Day, we think of the reformers. Think of William Tyndale. He has left his fatherland in England to go to the mainland of Europe, where he would have more freedom to translate the scriptures, and he has never returned. And at a younger age, he was burned on the stake. Then further, then we read of Paul's heavy burden, because in our text, beside those things that are without, those matters that he has mentioned, and the former verses not mentioned everything, and then he is even given to tell us of a greater burden that even weighed heavier on his heart, and to receive those stripes and to be shipwrecked, all those difficulties, how difficult, robbers, how difficult for the flesh. But beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, is not weekly or once in a while, but that cometh upon me daily, as Paul is given to speak, of a great and heavy burden, that was placed upon his shoulders, and that burden has pressed them down a day by day. And then that burden is, that was, which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Then Paul, those never dying souls, they weighed heavy upon his heart when he was in Ephesus and when he has written this letter. And he thought, and it says all the churches, includes the church of Corinth. Then he was thinking back when he preached, and there were many boys and girls. And when they were not saved, not received a new heart, when he thought of fathers and mothers, unconverted, but also when they did not give due diligence with the instruction of their children, thus the care of all the churches. And then in the time, the apostles with the institution of new churches, then many have been called from heathendom, and also concerning the organization of the churches, then much instruction was necessary. Therefore, we have the pastoral letters of Paul to Timothy and to Titus. Oh, the care of all the churches, the need that young men would be converted, also older ones, and taught in the things of the Lord, men with grace and with gifts that could be called to the offices to serve the church. Oh, the care of all the churches, that Greek culture that had a great influence upon the whole world. And there were also many places of vanities, sports stadiums, theaters, and other places of vanity, all the care of all the churches, whether for the youth but also the older ones, that the Greek culture that would penetrate into the churches, and that they would not be a separate people, even if that it would cause division in the churches. Because when the church does not stand shoulder to shoulder, then the devil has an easy target. Thus, then in a few words, oh, the care of all the churches, that was a great burden upon the shoulders of Paul, because Paul knew that the devil has many ways to destroy the church. Oh, with false doctrine, world conformity, division, but also with persecution. Oh, so it was also in the life of the reformers. Ah, they were bowed down, but where did it bring them? Oh, congregation, family circles. Now the winter nights have come, and now fathers and mothers, and those nights, then it's good that the whole family reads together. And also concerning church history, there is so much to learn, so much that we ought to know, and that we may be given to see what our forefathers have all sacrificed. And now Paul, but also the reformers, with the care of those churches, where did it bring them? To the scriptures and on their knees. Oh, they tell us that Martin Luther, that sometime he spent a few hours on his knees. And that he even said to Melanchthon, Melanchthon, tomorrow I have so much to do that I must rise a little earlier and pray longer. Oh, the care of all the churches. How is that with us? Is that also our care? our burden? Do we have a love for the church, young and old, for the old truth and the old ways? Because that care for the churches becomes evident in our life. That is not just cheap talk, but that shall be evident in our life. Our church is called a Reformed Church. Are we still Reformed? Further, then we read that Paul speaks, not such an easy text, who was weak, and I am not weak, who was offended, and I burn not. And Paul is given to declare that everything that he may do in the kingdom of God, that he was but a weak instrument. And in the next chapter, then it is declared, the Lord has said, oh, but that thorn in the flesh. And a thorn that is not so easy, a splinter, boys and girls. And now Paul has prayed thrice that the Lord would take that thorn away. And then the Lord has answered. What a blessing for the church. Many times the Lord deals differently when we desire, but the Lord was not silent. And Christ has said to Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee. A weakness made perfect in strength. Thus Paul was given to express that he was weak. But in this text that emphasizes that he empathized with the church, with weak brethren, that had many difficulties, that had many crosses. In 1 Corinthians 12, then Paul has written to this congregation that in a congregation just like a body, and the body has different parts, but they all belong together. And we cannot all be the same. But when one suffers, then we all suffer. Just think, boys and girls, if you got a sharp splinter, how annoying that is. And now Paul is given to declare, who is weak and I am not weak, who is offended and I burn not. Oh, then Paul is given to write to the church for those brethren that had many a trial and many a cross, that he was given to bear one another's burdens. Oh, that he was given to burn with a holy zeal in the way of sympathy, who was offended when brethren slip, thus also when in the church, when there were those that have fallen and slipped in different ways, when they were given to offend, then it was with a burning heart with Paul. Then his heart went out to those brethren. In our marginal notes of our Stata Vitale, then they have written concerning this text, a burning zeal for the honor of God and the salvation of those who were troubled and offended. Oh, what Paul has experienced in the way of those trials and in the way of that weakness, in the way of prayer, supplication, that of Paul has experienced that there is one that is mighty. Psalm 89, verse 19, I have laid help upon one that is mighty. Oh, then Paul has experienced the preciousness of that threefold office of the Lord Jesus Christ, prophet, priest, and king. And then further we read of Paul that he is given to glory. If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern mine infirmities. And then in verse 31, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore. Ah, then Paul then he was given to end in the Lord. Romans 11, verse 36, of him, through him, and to him be all things, to him be glory forever and ever. Then it was the vehement desire of Paul that the Lord may be glorified in the gathering and in the preservation of his church. If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern mine infirmities. Ah, that is the way that the Lord teaches his church, in the way of experience. When everything goes smoothly, it is true, are times in the life of a child of God that under the goodness of the Lord, when they may with a Peter, in Luke 5 verse 8, when Peter saw it, that they may have a special place, the Lord's footstool, that they may experience special instruction and special communion. But the Lord especially teaches his people who he is for a poor and needy people in the way of trials, in the way of infirmities. Oh, then how precious all the attributes of the Lord become. Then they become more and more. Oh, then they are given to look to the King of the church, who has all things in his hand. Beside all these things, the care of the churches. And then he is given to add, he is given to think back at the beginning of his life. In Acts 9, when the Lord has stopped them on the way to Damascus, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And then when it was heard that Paul had become a preacher of Jesus Christ, then the enmity of the Jews, and then they have tried to capture him, and through a window in a basket was he led down by the wall and escaped his hands. Our second point that concerns one that was also let out of the window. We shall first sing. Psalm 154:1-3. O God, be merciful to me, and my soul for refuge comes to thee. Beneath thy wings I safe will stay, until these troubles pass away. And what follows, 154, the first three stanzas. Thank you.
beside all things, the care of the churches, the life of the Apostle Paul, and now a few words in the life of John Calvin. Then we must understand that John Calvin, that he was born 25 years later, because Luther and Zwingli, 1483, 1484, John Calvin was born in the year 1509. Thus, in a certain sense, a second generation reformer. He was born in Noyon, approximately 60 miles north of Paris in France. His parents were well-to-do. He had a very pious mother. What a privilege when we may have pious and godly mothers in our homes that may be given to instruct their children. And now in the special providence of the Lord, because boys and girls in those days, most boys and girls did not go to school. But John Calvin had the privilege in the neighborhood. There was a nobleman, a rich nobleman, that has hired a teacher to come in his home to instruct his children. And then John may also go to that home, the providence of the Lord, because the Lord had a great work for John Calvin to do. Then already at the age of 14 years, his children, that is not so old, then he has left his parental home, and then he went to the large city of Paris together with those children of the nobleman to receive a further instruction. It was the thought of his father that he must become a priest, we would say boys and girls, a minister in the church. But then special circumstances have changed that. Two things. In the first place, his father has come in disagreement with the priests. And in the second place, his father thought if he would have another occupation, it would make it easier to make a living. Thus, he began to study for lawyer. Also, the special providence of the Lord is to be a lawyer. You must have clearness of thought and also an orderly way of thinking and an able to defend. Oh, John Calvin did not know why. He has had to study for lawyer, but the Lord stood above everything. Oh, John Calvin in his youth has also experienced many trials. He lost his dear mother when he was 14 years old. Oh, children, that you appreciate your parents much. And when he was 22 years old, he lost his father. But what is now the most important in our life? We believe that John Calvin, he first became acquainted with the scriptures when he was a teenager. And when he read the scriptures, he realized that there was much amiss in the Roman Catholic Church. He has chosen the side of the Protestants, and he has experienced much persecution. But when he was 24 years old, he was very powerfully converted by the Lord. In that respect, Martin Luther and John Calvin, they had completely different characters. Martin Luther has written much of his experience
Alma's family circle. John Calvin, very little. An introduction to his commentary. Then he has briefly stated a few things that he was wrought upon by the Lord, but we have very little. And John Calvin has written much. Think of his commentaries. But he has written very little of himself. Then when he was converted, then he was given to experience the truths that the reformers have brought. He has seen many burned on the stake, much suffering, much persecution. And now in Paris, he has received his doctor's degree. In those days, young people, they had to study very hard. I have read of William Tyndale concerning his schooling, that the school day started at 5 o'clock. Of course, they were a little older, 12, 13, 14. Started at 5 o'clock in the morning, first an hour, that they have come together to read the Bible, pray, and be instructed out of God's Word. Then school from 6 through 10. At 10 o'clock they had breakfast. And then after breakfast, they continued their schooling till 5 o'clock. Those boys and girls. Then we do not have it so difficult in our time. I realize for some boys and girls, it is easier than others. But that education and that respect, resemblance between Paul and Calvin. Paul was instructed at the feet of Gamaliel. John Calvin has also received a good education. And now in Paris, there was a university, and in that university where Calvin had studied, then a new principal was appointed, and his name was Nicholas Cop. And that principal was called to give an inaugural address. When many of the university professors, students, that they have gathered together, and that address was Reformed and Protestant. And then the enemies became angry, and they have discovered that John Calvin, thus then you see the respect and the special place they were given to see in that university, that John Calvin was a very gifted man, excellent memory. What a privilege in the church. When that may be, when the Lord may convert young men, when the Lord endows them with understanding, with gifts, much prayer, and that the congregation may wait for the time that they may serve the church. And then it was spread abroad that John Calvin had helped the principal write that address. Nicholas Cop has fled. John Calvin was in the city, and then the enemies have come when he was instructing the students on the second floor, but they have let him down with sheets the same as Paul when he was let down in a basket. Then what have they done in Paris? They have guarded all the gates, but John Calvin, early in the morning, he has dressed himself as a wine farmer, and so he has escaped. And then there were a few years that he has lived in many places, persecuted, a very difficult life. Oh, then also a John Calvin, then he could tell of the many besides the care of the church, the many outward difficulties, the persecution, but oh, a love to his God and a love to never dying souls, so we may continue. And then he has come to Basel. And there, 26 years old, he has written the first edition of its Christian institutes. It is true. It has went through many editions the last few years. He worked on the final edition, 4 books, 80 chapters, more than 1,500 pages, where he in such a clear way was given to declare the doctrines of free and sovereign grace, but also concerning the government of the church. And then there was a time that he was traveling. History is not always the same. Some say he was traveling to Basel, others to Strasbourg. But because of military occupation, he was forced to go through the city of Geneva. That is a city on the western coast of Switzerland by Lake Geneva, an important place in our day. There are important gatherings that are held in that city. And then he has stayed overnight. And then in that city of Geneva in 1535, Ferrel and Verrett, they have come to that city to bring the gospel. But the enmity was so bitter. And also Ferrel and Verrett, they have warned against the sins of the time. And a religious world, they still love the sins of the world. And then the enmity became greater and greater. They have tried to murder those two preachers. And then Farrell, he was 20 years older than Calvin. And then he has heard that Calvin was in town. Oh, Farrell, he has begged the Lord. Lord, the cares, the burdens, they are becoming too great to bear. Well, thou send a man that is stronger than I. And when Farrell heard that Calvin, the writer of the Institutes, was in Geneva, then that night he went to visit him, and he impressed upon young Calvin that he must stay in Geneva, that the Reformation may be furthered. But Calvin, he had a desire to study, to be in quietness. But then Farrell, then he has stood before him and he has said, do you want to devote yourself to your study? Very well. I tell you in the name of Almighty God that you do not seek the cause of Jesus Christ, but that ye seek yourself. But your rest and your study shall be cursed by God. Good night, my young friend. And that touched Calvin. And then he did not dare to go further. And he told Farrell that with the Lord's help, that he would stay. All his labors in Geneva, they have been manifold. They have been heavy. In the year 1538, because there were two parties, there was the Reformed Party and the Libertines. Oh, they were still religious, but they want to be able to enjoy the world and to sin. And that has caused very much enmity in 1538. They were expelled from Geneva, nevertheless. They were called back. We shall not tell you all in this evening. So fathers and mothers, then you can read to your children about the life, church history. It is so important that we have knowledge, of course, of the Bible, but also of the history of the church. And history oftentimes repeats itself. And that we may be given to see that in ages past, the wonders that the Lord has done, he has used weak instruments. Nevertheless, the labors were blessed. And that the Lord has given a great reformation. Oh, a Calvin. He was not a strong man. Headaches, gout, asthma, many diseases. But he worked while it was day for a Calvin. Besides all these things, the care of the churches. Then John Calvin, the reformers, they were men that had a vision. I read in Proverbs 19, verse 28, where no vision is, the people perish. And John Calvin realized the necessity that the truth of God's word, that it must be brought to the multitudes. So in Geneva, a university was built above that door. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. They tell us in the year that John Calvin died in 1564 that there were 1,500 students. John Knox, the reformer of Scotland, whom Queen Mary has said that she feared the prayers of John Knox more than an army of 10,000 soldiers. What a blessing it is to have such beggars in the midst of the church. Caspar Olivianus also studied at that university. Theodora Beza was the principal, became the follower of John Calvin. His labors have been manifold. Had contact correspondence with different governments of different countries. How much he has written. And in those days, boys and girls, not a typewriter or a computer. All by pen, not electrical lights, by candle. It has pleased the Lord to take him out of this life on May 27 of 1564. Has also come some division between Farrell and Calvin, but Calvin has written a letter to Farrell that his end was drawn nigh. Then Farrell forgot about all the differences, hasted to Calvin, and bid his friend farewell. Then I read in Revelations 14, verse 13, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, and they shall rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. What a blessing John Calvin has been for the church. Oh, he has declared, our young people know, 5 points. We say the 5 points of Calvinism, must always remember the 5 points that are founded in God's word. Because for the reformers, the 5 watchwords, do you know what they are, Father and Mother? The solus means alone. Sola Scriptura. Sola Christus, sola gratia, sola fide, that is faith alone, sola Dea al gloria. Beside all these things, the care of the churches. How is it with our cares, congregation? How is it with the care about your never dying soul? Has that now become the greatest care? It's true. Even our children have many cares, a test at school. Some lessons can be more difficult. There are those with afflictions, trials. But has the care of our never dying soul become the most important? And now concerning Reformation, so necessary and profitable that we may know what has taken place. We have many beautiful books, profitable for the families to read through, the care of his church by Vreugdenhild. Beautiful books to read, instructive, but not only to know, but to appreciate our heritage, what our fathers were willing to suffer and to sacrifice, and what else to be given to live that Reformation, that it can be seen. Because in that time, it could be seen that the Lord was working mightily. And what else? That we may be given to pray, beg the Lord for a Reformation in these dark and evil times. The psalmist in Psalm 80, verse 19, turn us again, O Lord of hosts. Cause thy face to shine upon us, and we shall be saved. Amen. Let us pray. Our Lord, then thou hast wrought so wonderfully since the creation of the world. Those wonderful things are recorded in thy word. And the history of thy church, those wonders are also recorded. And that is for our learning. But, O Lord, may we be given to beg of thee, that thou may grant a revival, a reformation amongst us and our dear children, and that those Reformation truths, that they may be experienced in our heart. Then there comes a love for that truth. And then we are willing to sacrifice, and the prayer shall be multiplied. O Lord, wilt thou remember us with a favor that thou bearest unto thy people? O wilt thou remember us in the furtherance of this week, in the day of tomorrow, a young couple, hope to come up to thy house, and be united in holy matrimony. May thy presence be experienced. May thou be their pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire. Lord, wilt thou keep us from danger, from harm. Watch over us over the unsafe roads. We commend all the mourning ones unto thee. Wilt thou forgive everything that was sinful. In this evening hour, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 221, the three stanzas. A great shepherd who leadest thy people in love, may cherubim dwelling shine thou from above. And what follows, 221, 1, 2, and 3. Thank you.
receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.